We turn in our pew Bibles to Isaiah 52. So Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people and has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Our New Testament reading is from the first chapter of John, the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thee, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. The true light. You know, Jesus says in Scripture that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. That tells us that we're to follow Jesus. Not only that he's the way, the truth, and the life, that's the life that we're supposed to live. And how is it that we're supposed to live that life? Jesus was questioned by Pharisees and Sadducees and learned people, and they wanted to trap him. Because they said, what's the greatest of the commandments? Well, there are 10 of them. So if he says one, well, then they'll say, well, surely the other one is more important. But he paraphrases all 10 of them with saying, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. And the second is no less than the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. So he told them what it was that they should be doing. He wasn't challenging the law. He wasn't usurping the law. He was defining or articulating or paraphrasing or putting it in words that they could understand. And even as simple as that was, okay, I'm supposed to do it. Love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength, which kind of doesn't leave anything out. So it's with my entire being I'm supposed to love the Lord my God. And just as important as that
is to love my neighbor as myself. Well, of course that begs to answer, well, wait a minute, he said love thy neighbor. That just means the people that live next to me, right? No. And then he tells him the parable of the Good Samaritan. Who's your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is everyone who's placed on earth with you at this point in time, as long as you shall live. So what we're to do, Jesus tells us that we're to follow his example. We're supposed to, he's the way, the truth, and the life. If we wonder, is this true, is this not true? We look to see and how Jesus is in that. We can see if that generous activity, if that act of humility has really got Christ in it, or is it someone with an ulterior motive? You know about that, right? You've dealt with people who have ulterior motives. Someone's up in D.C., right? There's a lot of that going on up there. And it doesn't have to be just in D.C. It can be Richmond. It can be in Deltaville. Virtually every place we go, even in the schoolyards, there are ulterior motives. Well, why did Johnny give Susie that bow? What is Johnny... There's an ulterior motive behind almost anything. But the point is, what we're supposed to be doing is being open and have that light of Christ shining out of us and that light of Christ shining onto those things that are occurring in our lives. In the beginning was the Word. That tells us the primacy that is God. We know that God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's a trinity. It's a three for one. It's something that is so difficult that we can't articulate and grasp it totally. I mean, we can reach for it. We can try to articulate, well, okay, God the Father, and he has to come in the form of a baby. That's Jesus the Son, and he has to die on a cross for us. And then he has to leave to go to the Father so that the Father can send a comforter, a counselor, the Holy Spirit. You know, where's the lot? The logic in there is beyond you and I. It's like when the Pharisees and Sadducees are asking him, he says, what's the greatest commandment? And he gives them all 10 of them wrapped up in the first four, love thy God, are in that love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy spirit. And the other six are wrapped up in, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, that's not the simplest of answers that we want, but it's the Word. Because as we live in the Word, as we live in the Word, as we allow the Word to live in us, just as we're going to receive communion today, and that's his body given for us. The bread is his body which is given for us. The wine, the grape juice is his blood shed for us. All of that is for us so that we become part of what God has created. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. Guess what? Without God, you get nothing. Without Christ in your life, all you get is less than nothing, because it's nothing permanent. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. See, Jesus didn't come just for the Jews. You know, these children of Abraham, these followers of God, these children of promise, as the Jews of the day called themselves. There were a bunch of people that they looked down on, the Samaritans. Or the Gentiles, because they weren't following and they weren't children of Abraham. Well, Jesus comes and his disciples in that first century turn the whole world upside down, because it's not that Jesus came just for the Jew. It's not that Jesus came just for the Gentile. It says that he is the light of all people, Gentile or Jew. Whether it's not where you start, it's not where you were born, it's where you are walking into and where you're going. If you're a follower of Christ Jesus, if you come to know him, if you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you become a child of God. That's a promise. And in that, because you're a child of God, you have that eternal promise. And that light shines into darkness. You know, there's so many things that are confusing or troubling to us that happen in the world today because we don't understand what's going on. And I talked about ulterior motives, those things that are hidden from us, those things that we can't see. Well, there's a lot of that going on. Is it only today? No. It's been happening for centuries and decades. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he baptized. He baptized a baptism of repentance. In other words, just as you get your hands dirty in life, Fred, you've never got your hands really dirty and grimy, right? As a bosun mate working on boats, come on. Out in the fields, ever got your hands really, really dirty? How many people have baked cookies and cake? Get your hands dirty? But that's a different kind of dirt. That's the dirt that you can actually lick this. Anyway, but you're not going to do that with some of the grit and grime, and you're not going to do that with all the dirt out there. We'll let God process it into a good green pepper or something else. That's another miracle. What come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of the people. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Christ came into the world not to rule everyone, but to shine a light of life into their lives. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. Remember, John said, I'm not even worthy to unbuckle the sandals of the one who comes after me. Humility. Humble. But he was saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And that's not just, you know, when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, we're going to get a road ready for him to come down the road, right? So we're going to start getting everything in order. No. You prepare your heart. How do you prepare your heart? You lay aside yourself. You lay aside your own dignity. You become humble. And then we can see the light of Christ in our lives. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The true light. Now, that true light does what? Now, if you've got a really, really powerful light and it's dark at night, what does that light do? What does that light do? It shines everything. It reveals things. Those things that we can't see, we can see now because we've got that light. That hole that was right in front of me, oh, goodness, I'm good. It's a good thing I had that light. I didn't fall. It's good to have a light in the darkness. And I'll tell you, there are so many things in our life, metaphorically, are darkness. Whether it's an illness, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a despair, that's darkness. Christ is the light that works in that. You don't have to have something that's 10,000 candle power because sometimes a mag light's not going to help you find how to get yourself out of a hole that you've gotten into because of things that have happened in your world. You need the light that brings peace. You need the light that brings hope. You need the light that brings joy. You need the light that brings peace. That is the light of Christ. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. What did his people do? They condemned him. There before Pontius Pilate, they have a choice. They can either accept Christ Jesus. Pontius Pilate is willing to free Christ Jesus for him. And what do they cry for? Barabbas. What do they tell Pontius Pilate to do to Christ? Crucify him. Oh, that was just those people back then. Sorry to tell you. The fact of the matter is Christ went to the cross for everyone's sins. Get that? Everyone's sins. Sin in general. Christ went to the cross for the sin that we've committed in our lives. Christ goes to the cross for the sin that the people of Israel had committed in their lives. Christ goes to the cross so that sin is paid for, so that you and I can be restored to him. That's the light. He shines light into darkness because without that light, we're stuck living and wallowing in the wages of sin that you and I have conducted. What are the wages of sin? Death, darkness, despair, whether it's death, an earthly death. But what we have with him is a light. He was in the world. The world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. How in the world is that possible? Well, there's the conundrum. How in the world? Well, you got to go outside the world. You've got to go outside of the worldly, earthly things, the secular things, and you have to go to the spiritual and the holy things, and that is Christ Jesus, God our Creator, and the Holy Spirit. He came to what was his own people did not accept him, but to all who receive him, this is the promise, but to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. So you know what? If you do those things, if you receive him, believe in his name, he gave power to become children of God. If you believe him and receive him, then you become a child of God. Why? By your power? No, by the power of Christ Jesus. So he allows us, this is the power that spoke into the void and created everything that is. This is the power that as we believe and receive, as we believe and receive, then we have life in him. And we have the children to become power of God, who were born not of blood and will of the flesh or the will of man, but the will of God. Jesus says, I come not to do my will. In John 6, Jesus tells them, as they're asking for the bread, after he's fed 5,000, he says, I come not into the world to do my will, but I come into the world to do the will of the Father who sent me. And then he doesn't leave you hanging. He says, the will of the Father is that none given to me will be lost, but I will raise them up. What a promise. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. I want you to remember verse 9. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the world through that little young lady. And he went to the cross for you and for me. He was dead, buried, raised by the power of God. He ascended into heaven. And we have the Holy Spirit right now with us. But you know what? He's coming back. So as we have ended Advent, yesterday was the last day of Advent, because now we're in kingdom time. He is the true light. Let that light shine into wherever you got a dark spot in your life. The true light. For in it is hope and life and a life everlasting. Shalom. Amen. Our hymn of invitation.